Happy Juneteenth today. So that's, we now have a new holiday, finally. I want to say happy first day of summer. And happy Juneteenth, happy Father's Day, happy first day of summer. Oh, yeah. And to my babalicious wife, happy 47th anniversary. I never forget our anniversary because it's on the first day of summer. So that means we got married on the longest day of the year and the shortest night. Why didn't I get married December 21st, the longest night of the year and the shortest day? I don't know. I didn't think about that. Pull out your message notes, everybody. Did you get your lemonade? I got my lemonade. Your life is not a 50-yard dash. The goal is not to get to the end as quickly as you can. Instead, your life is a marathon. The goal is to go through it pacing. Instead, the goal should be to pace yourself and do the right things so that you make it all the way to the finish line, standing. Now, sadly, a lot of people, friends, they shrivel up inside and they die before they die. They never experience what it feels like to really be alive, connected to God. As I said, they die before they die. I don't want that to happen to you. I love you too much. And as your pastor who loves you, it is my job to make sure that doesn't happen to you. That in the marathon of life, which is a long journey, you make it to the finish line standing. Now, if you've ever watched a marathon, you know that the starting point is always very crowded. There's a ton of people at the starting line. But as the race progresses, the crowd thins out. And longer the race grows, there's more space between the runners, and many, many people drop out, and they don't make it to the finish line. One of my goals as your pastor is to help you finish the race that God has called you to run, and that you not just finish it, but you finish well. I want you to finish well. I'm going to finish well, God, by God's grace, in the race that God has called me. Now, if you're going to make it all the way to the finish line in your life, you're going to have to build some character qualities, Christ-like qualities, such as endurance and resilience and balance and pacing. You're going to have to learn these skills. You know, a lot of people start off great in life. But even before they get to the halfway point in their life, they've already really messed it up and they've given up, which is worse than messing up. Here, let me say it again. Giving up is always worse than messing up. Everybody messes up. Why do people give up in the marathon of their lives? Because they got discouraged. Now, discouragement is a deadly disease. It is a deadly disease. Discouragement will sap your energy. It will blur your focus. It will distort reality. You don't see things clearly when you're discouraged. You don't see things as they really are. And it kills your motivation. The problem with discouragement is it's also highly contagious. You get around a group of discouraged people, you'll get discouraged. You get around a bunch of negative people, you're listening to discouraging voices in the media all the time, then you're going to be discouraged too about life and about the future. That's why today I want to show you what God says in His Word, in this book of Nehemiah that we're going through, what to do when you feel like giving up. What do you do when you feel like giving up? I hope you don't need this right now. You might. You might be in the middle of something that's discouraging you right now. But you're going to need this message someday, so I highly encourage you to take notes. When you feel like you're giving up, in our series through the book of Nehemiah, we now come to the second part of chapter 4, and this story illustrates that we're going to look at today both the four common causes, four reasons people get discouraged. And it also gives us the cure, God's steps for getting out of discouragement. Now, let me read the passage, and then we'll draw out the lessons for defeating discouragement. Okay? Now, if you've been following this series, you know the background of this story. If you've been with us in the past weeks, that the nation of Israel was conquered by the Babylonian Empire, and most of the people in Israel were taken as prisoners of war to another country. For 70 years, they're held captive. And finally, when the Persians beat the Babylonians and they take over, King Cyrus allows them, the Jews, to go back to their homeland 70 years later. When they get home to Israel and they get home to Jerusalem, to find everything's been destroyed. Their homes, the city, the temple, the walls, everything. And they're living among the ruins and rubble of a bombed out or destroyed city. So this book, Nehemiah, is written to discouraged people. They were very discouraged. But then God puts a dream in the heart of a guy named Nehemiah. And he says, Nehemiah, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to rebuild the wall around the city for the protection of all the residents from the enemies, because a lot of people didn't like the Jews. So they go back, and as we've already seen so far, they started rebuilding this wall. And now, today in this story, we get to the point that they've built the wall up halfway to what its original height was. But at the halfway point, they get discouraged. The initial enthusiasm wears off. The people start feeling tired and a bunch of stuff, and they want to give up. And we find that story in Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at the top of your outline or up here on the screen. It says this. So the people quickly rebuilt the first half of the wall around Jerusalem until it reached half its height. Now, I want you to circle half its height. We'll come back to that. Because they worked hard, with all their heart. But then, he's talking about our enemies, heard how Jerusalem's walls were being repaired and all the gaps were being closed, and they became very angry and plotted to attack Jerusalem together and create some confusion to stop the progress of building the wall. So we prayed to God for protection and posted 24-hour guards to protect the workers. But then the people began to complain. They said, we're tired. We're tired and we're worn out. Besides that, there's so much rubble and trash to be removed. We now realize we can't do this. We can't finish this wall. Oh, and by the way, also our enemies are now threatening us. They're saying, before you know it or even see us, we'll be among you to kill you and end the work. Then those who lived closest to our enemies kept reporting, literally over 10 times they told us, that our enemies kept saying, we're going to attack you from every direction. Now this brief little story that I just read is packed, just packed with powerful insights that you're going to need to finish your race, the marathon of your life, powerful insights that you need to finish well in life. And this, what I just read, illustrates the foremost common causes that